Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we meditate on God's word from Titus chapter 3, which, thinking about Jesus' baptism, also focuses us on our own baptism. We read verses 4 through 7. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is the word of our Lord. We pray. Lord, open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your word. Amen. Dear friends, fellow saints of God, sinners washed by the blood of Jesus in the water of baptism, how do you feel about assembling things, putting things together? Maybe a Christmas present, a toy that your children got that needed to be put together. Are you one of those people that sees the words "some assembly required" and says, "Oh yes, this is going to be fun"? Or, like a lot of us, do you see those words and say, "Oh no"? Or, you know, I remember putting some bigger things together, like a gas grill. It's a little pretty complicated, and you sure don't want to mess that up because you're dealing with gas lines and things like that, or putting a big swing set together. Some of those things can be pretty intimidating. I've heard that there are actually people who, as a living, they're professional assemblers, that you can pay them to put stuff together for you. And they say, you know, a lot of their business, not even because people are lazy or they don't want to take the time to do it or anything like that, it's just they can't. You know, maybe even they just can't do it. They need outside help to put this thing together. And my guess is that, you know, of those kinds of people, there are three kinds of assembly fails. You maybe have the person who opens the box and gets all the stuff out and looks at the directions and sees all the different steps and how complicated it is. They just throw up their hands and say, "There's no way that I can do this. This isn't happening. I can't do this. It's just way too complicated for me." Then maybe you have the other kind of person who, kind of the opposite, they take everything out and they just throw away the instructions. They say, "I can figure this out. I can see all the parts. Oh, this fits together here and this fits together there. And everything seems to be all going well and they think everything's going fine. But then at the end, it just doesn't fit, or there's an extra part, or it doesn't work right. And you find out, well, maybe I should have gotten some help. Maybe I should have at least read the instructions." Or there's the person who puts everything out carefully, all the parts here, they check it according to the instructions, and they follow the instructions step by step, put one thing together, and everything seems to be following along the way it's supposed to. And then they get to the end, and there's an extra part, maybe two or three. And they look at it and they say, This is important. I don't think it'll work without this part. This has to go somewhere. I did something wrong somewhere. I don't know where. Somewhere along the line, something got messed up." Or maybe you get to the end and you need something to put it all together. It's not there. What happened to it? What did I do wrong? I thought I was following the instructions perfectly. And, you know, you get to that point and you say, "Well, maybe I need some help." And our word from God this morning reminds us that when it comes to our life, it's really kind of the same way. That whether we think everything is going along fine or not, the truth is, we want to have a nicely put together life, one that we can be proud of, that we can look at ourselves and say, I'm a good person. God must be really happy with me, with the way that I'm living my life. And it's not. As hard as we try, there are things in our life that are out of place. There are things that in our life that cause difficulty and pain and hardship. And sometimes we've been the ones who have caused pain and hardship to other people. And not everything is right. There are things that are out of place and not put together right. Not the way that God wants them to be. The truth is, we can't do it. We need someone else to do it for us. We need help from the outside. And that's why it's such a celebration this morning for us as we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Because when Jesus was baptized, God said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." He had everything together all right. Nothing out of place. Everything exactly the way God wants a life to be for a human being. Jesus had it all down perfectly together. And that's what makes him the perfect person to help us. He's the one that we need to do it for us. And our word from God this morning tells us that that's how it is. That Jesus is the one who has done it all for us. So, and as much as we would like to think that we're all put together right by ourselves and we've done everything okay, we need that help from the outside. God is telling us today, let Jesus do all the work of your salvation. Our salvation is completely finished by him, given to us as a gift of his love and mercy. And in baptism, that gift of Jesus is given to us, fully assembled. Going back to the three kinds of people who have assembly fails, I think those kind of correspond to the ways that we look at our life. That person who gets out the instructions and they see how complicated it is and everything is all over the place and it's just a mess and they say, "I can't do this. There's no way." Some people can look at their lives and they say, "Yeah, there's no hope for me. I can't do this. My life is a mess." And maybe it's looking back at hurts from the past that people have hurt them, and then that becomes lashing out at other people and hurtful ways of dealing with life, or bitterness and complaining about the situation that they're in, or maybe it's just, sinful choices that have made a mess not only of our own life, but of someone else's life. And just to say this, there's no way. My life is a mess, and I don't know how it can be fixed. And, if that describes you or someone you know, you should know that Jesus, when he came to the earth, sought out people like that. And he helped and served and forgave and restored people like that. People like tax collectors and prostitutes and other people whose lives were just a mess. And Jesus came to them and helped them. That second category of people who toss out the instructions and try and put it together on their own, well, there are people like that when it comes to their life and their spiritual life too, aren't there? People who say, I don't need God to be good. I don't need God in my life. I think I'm pretty good the way that I already am. I mean, I'm nice and I do a lot of good things and I'm helpful in my life. And, kind of like that person putting it together on their own, it looks good, at least for a while, until you come to that point where you say, well, where does this go? And maybe you don't realize something is out of place until a lot later. And sometimes we can be like that too, isn't it? Maybe that we think, well, I've made a sinful choice when it comes to what God says about marriage, but I'm still a nice person and I do a lot of good for other people, and I think that's what should really count. Or, you know, we think I can make up my own rules about what's good for my life, and as long as I follow that, well, then I should be okay. And of course, that's trouble, because it's harder to see that we need God's help. And we do, because as much as we try and think, well, this is the way it should fit together, there's something out of place. There's something out of place caused by our own fault and our own selfishness. Whether it's I've designed my own rules of right and wrong, and I think I'm doing what's right, or I've neglected worship of my Creator who deserves my attention and my praise, and I've completely neglected that. There's something in our life that's out of place. And it's not something that we can fix. And again, you know, for all those times that we think we're doing just fine on our own and we don't need God, well, we do. Only Jesus can fix the things that are out of place, the things that we don't even know that are there and that we need God to fix. We need Jesus for those things. And then there's that person who gets out the directions and tries to follow them to the letter, and yet for all of their efforts to do that, it's still just not quite right. There's an extra part, something's wrong, it doesn't work at the end. And we can be a lot like that too. If we look at the Bible and we think of it primarily as a rule book and the directions for our life, and of course there are laws and God tells us what he wants us to do in his word, but if we think that's all that it is, and if we think by following the rules and by following the instructions, that's what's going to make God like us, and that's what's going to make us good people, and that's what's going to get us into heaven, we're missing the things that are out of place. That as closely as we try to follow God's instructions, somehow, maybe even without us intending it, we just mess it up. For all my good intentions, maybe I'm regular in worship and I come to church regularly, at least mostly regularly, and yet I can be so cruel and bitter to people in my family. Or, you know, maybe I try really hard to be nice and kind, but secretly I'm kind of bitter and complaining about everything, about the things that I don't like in my life. Still something is out of place, and we can't do it on our own. As people born sinful, we can't follow God's directions perfectly. We need outside help. We need someone to do it for us. And, you know, the people who had that attitude of, well, I'm good because I follow God's instructions, those were the people who had the biggest issues with Jesus. People like the rich young ruler who went away sad because he thought that he had done everything perfectly since he was a little boy, and Jesus pointed out that, well, no, there's some things out of place. Or the Pharisees who thought they were so good and looked down on others as Jesus pointed out their flaws and said woe to them, ended up hating Jesus. And that can be a really big danger to us too. If our faith and our religious life is just all about obeying the rules and we think that's what makes us good, we're missing the fact that something is out of place and we need help. And that's all for us simply in those words in our text of not because of righteous things we had done. Our life is in a good place with God, but it's not because we followed the directions, not because we have everything put together perfectly, it's not because of anything good about us, but it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one who had everything right. And through faith in Jesus and through our baptism into him, that makes everything right in our life. Jesus saved us by living a perfect life, which he gives us credit for, everything in place, exactly the way God wanted him to be, by dying a death that paid the price for our sins, and by showing the ultimate stamp of God's approval when he rose from the dead. Jesus shows that he has done all of it for us. And all of that salvation, forgiveness, a good relationship with God, and the hope of heaven, all of that comes to us fully assembled in baptism. And that's such a wonderful and comforting thing. He says that all of this comes to us by his mercy and his kindness. See, God's mercy isn't like our mercy, and his kindness isn't like our kindness. Our kindness says, well, I'll be nice to them if they're nice to me. I'll be good to other people as long as I can expect to get something in return. God is kind to us even when we completely don't deserve it. And it's mercy, simply because he wants to help us in our time of need, not because we've earned or deserved it. Kind of like if you had a neighbor that you just couldn't get along, maybe he's always complaining about noise or the kids, or he's always borrowing stuff and never returning, and just never seems to have anything good to say about you. And yet you see that neighbor, you know, trying to assemble something in his yard. He's just struggling. It's been a long time. He's pulling his hair out, and you just finally feel sorry for the guy. He's like, can I help you out? Not because he's such a great guy, but just because you want to help. And God wants to help us even though we entirely don't deserve it. And when we recognize that in our time of need, when we couldn't do it ourselves, God stepped in and did it for us. How wonderfully comforting it is. Because on the one hand, it's a problem when we think that everything is all put together in our life, but really it's not. But at the same time, when we get to that point when we realize things are not good in my life, and sometimes when the weight and hurt of the sinful world start to hurt us, then we can have a sense of panic too. There's no hope for me. And what a comforting thing it is to see God's promises in baptism. Luther had kind of a favorite catchphrase when things were down or he felt guilty or he felt things just weren't right, that he would say in Latin, baptismus sum, I am baptized. And we see in God's word for today why that was such a great comfort for him. He tells us that baptism is a washing of rebirth and renewal. It's true. Everything in our life is all out of place. We've messed things up. We've messed relationships up. If it was all up to us, it would be a total mess and there would be no hope for us. But when we came to the font, when we were baptized, God washed all of that away. He gave us a new life. He gets a new life that is in Jesus. Because when Jesus was baptized, God said, with him I am well pleased. Everything is right. Everything is together. Everything is where it's supposed to be. And in baptism, that was given to us. The robe of Jesus' righteousness, that what God said about Jesus, he now says about us through baptism. With you, I am well pleased, God says in baptism. And how awesome that is, especially at times when we feel the weight of our sin and the weight of our world. He says that since we have rebirth and renewal, all of that is poured out on us through the Holy Spirit. And again, in baptism, it's not just the water poured out on you, it's the Holy Spirit himself leading you to Christ, leading you to trust in his sacrifice and his goodness. The Holy Spirit leads us to give up on doing it ourselves and instead to let Jesus do all the work. And what a great thing that is. So when that happens, he says, we have been justified by his grace. The reality is that we have so many things out of place in our life, and when we actually compare our life to God's instructions, it becomes painfully obvious how far we've fallen short and how many times we've hurt other people by things being out of place, and how many times we've dishonored our Creator by things not being right in our life. And when we get that, it can be easy to be overwhelmed by guilt and crushed by it. And that's when we say, I am baptized. And we can look to the water of baptism, where he says, you are justified. That is, you are declared not guilty. That God has washed away everything out of place, that he has washed away all of your sin and replaced it with the perfect life of Jesus. And that as he sees you, he doesn't see the sin and the mistakes and the faults, but he sees the holiness of Jesus. And he calls you holy and justified. And not only that, he says that now we are heirs having the hope of eternal life. And, I mean, let's be honest, life in this sinful world can be hard. It's hard because the world itself is broken, and there are problems that come about without any intention or fault of our own, simply because we live in a broken world, and then we live in a world full of other sinful people, and sinful people can hurt us sometimes very, very deeply. And let's be honest, a lot of the hurt that we feel in this life is entirely our own fault, that we're the ones who messed everything up. And it's hard. But God is telling us here that he has a home in heaven for us that we can look forward to. And that there, everything is going to be right. There aren't going to be messed up lives with everything out of place. There isn't going to be hurt. There will be no more tears or mourning or crying or pain. That's going to be passed away when God brings us to eternal life. And we can look forward to that. Already now, God sees us as holy and perfect. And that means that in the future we can look forward to the day when God lets us experience life that's perfectly put together and live the way that God wants it to be when we're in heaven with him. I am baptized. What a great comfort to me. The problem is with us is a lot of times we are kind of do-it-yourselfers. We don't want to think that we need someone else's help, and maybe it's a guy thing, you know, that you're putting this together, and we feel like it's a challenge to our manhood, or you have to prove your manhood by finishing these things, and you've probably heard stories of people, maybe it's a guy thing again, it's men that they, even though it was becoming painfully obvious that it wasn't right, just persisted through it. No, I'm going to do this. I have to do this. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Sometimes humorous, sometimes dangerous. But when we do it with our spiritual life and our life with God and our life as a human being, deadly. We can't do it on our own. But God has sent Jesus. Baptized, proclaimed by God to be acceptable in his sight, who has given us life, forgiveness, and eternal hope. So we recognize my life is a mess. I can't put everything together perfectly on my own. But I have a Savior who did. Let Jesus do the work of all of your salvation. And take hope and comfort, Because in your baptism, it's given to you, free and fully assembled. Amen. Please rise. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen.